Operations Subcommittee meeting for May 7th, 2024, 4 o'clock PM. Item number two, notification of open meetings. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414, is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you very much. Item number three, quorum call.
Bonnet, Jap, Teaser, Thompson, and Chairman.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So move.
Second.
We've got motion and a second. Roll call.
Jap, Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson. Bonnet.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Aye. Item number five, proof of publication of meeting notice. Have proof of publication of the meeting notice, and that will become part of the permanent record. Item number six, FY 2025 equipment requirements. Nicole Best.
Hi. The process to identify and prioritize equipment items most needed by the district was determined by a staff equipment committee. Each department within the NRD identified their equipment requirements, and the equipment committee reviewed each item and made recommendations to the general manager and assistant general manager for purchase. The general manager and assistant general manager then reviewed the committee's recommendations and made further changes to the request list. For machinery and equipment, we have the fourth of five payments for a Caterpillar tire loader at $39,497. This purchase was approved by the board in 2020. The fifth and final payment for a Cat motor grader at $54,970. This purchase was approved by the board in 2019. And the annual trade for a Bobcat track skid loader for operations and maintenance and park maintenance, budgeted at $6,850. We are also requesting a new 2025 John Deere tractor at the state contract price of $197,406, as well as a 2025 Rhino Flex mower at the state contract price of $32,000. For Washington County Rural Water, we are requesting the purchase of a boom valve exerciser used to clear out valve boxes and meter pits. The cost is $58,225, which will be reimbursed by Washington County Rural Water. We are also requesting a John Deere utility terrain vehicle at the state contract price of $30,960. This will be replacing the district's 2017 Bobcat Toolcat. If traded in this Toolcat, we would receive $31,500. However, we are asking the directors to declare this equipment a surplus to bring to auction, where we feel we can get up to $15,000 more than the trade-in amount. For automobiles and trucks, we are requesting a 2025 half-ton crew cab, which will be replacing the district's current 2016 Chevy Equinox. The Equinox will then be used by the 319 position. For office equipment, we are requesting replacement of virtualization servers for Omaha and Blair, $20,000, replacement of backup hardware, $20,000, network equipment for Blair, $10,000, video conferencing equipment, which would be replacing Blair's current equipment, which was installed in 2010 and is mostly non-functioning. That amount is $18,213. Directory server replacement cycle, $5,000. Director equipment, $7,500. And miscellaneous equipment, $15,000. As a budget comparison, the total for the fiscal year 2024 budget was $520,931. The proposed total for the FY 2025 budget is $511,856. So management recommends that the subcommittee recommend to the board of directors to approve the proposed FY 2025 equipment requirements, subject to funding in the FY 2025 budget, and that the district's 2017 Bobcat Toolcat 5600 6CT27 be declared surplus, and that the general manager be authorized to list this equipment for sale with Big Iron Auctions. And I can answer any questions.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Jim.
And can we have a motion on it? Go ahead.
Can you explain the Big Iron Auction and why we selected them? I can guess, but I'd rather hear.
It is public. It is a public auction. I think, yeah, Justin knows a little bit more about it than I do because he works with them.
You know, we looked at this option because we thought that the trade-in value from John Deere is extremely low for that Toolcat. So Big Iron. And so the reason we chose Big Iron, they're a very reputable company that's local in Nebraska, but OPPD, MUD, City La Vista, City Papillion all use them as machinery surplus equipment. So we thought that was fairly comparable to what we do here at the NRD. It's a 10% commission as far as the sale of the item, but they reach 750,000 bidders worldwide, so we thought it was probably the best way to reach as many people as possible. So
the buyer's premium is paid by the buyer.
There actually is no buyer's premium, it's just a seller's. So it's a seller's commission of 10%, and that's it. That's why Big Iron's fairly popular, I think, as far as, you know, people buy things, because there is no buyer's commission. Okay. So we thought that was fairly fair as well, so.
Hey, Justin, how do you go from a Toolcat and all the cool things they can do to just a Gator? I mean, that's not even
it's about simplicity.
The same ballpark.
You're right, Kevin, it isn't. It's a simplicity of use, though. With what we're doing out there in the Silver Creek watersheds, Dakota County watersheds, and the levees, the Toolcat's useful in a small vicinity. What we're doing, though, is, you know, miles and miles and miles apart. And it's a very heavy machine. It only does 15 miles an hour, so it's hard to get from site to site. Okay. It doesn't off-road very well, so some of these sites we have are through pastures, hills, can be very muddy. They're not as maneuverable, and so it's actually not really fitting the purpose of what we need. We do have a skid loader if we need things for attachments and that kind of stuff. This is going to be used more from just getting up and down the levees, spraying site to site, so they can just go 45, 50 mile an hour right to the next site instead of loading it up on a trailer and hauling it around. So, you know, the Toolcat works great here in the park, but hauling it up and down the countryside from one county to the next, it's kind of cumbersome and difficult. So we just thought it was better to get something that was a little more useful for what we need. So.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I think he's got a question over there.
Oh, there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering, how many horsepower for that John Deere tractor?
The tractor that they're getting? You'd have to ask Bill. I don't know what the horsepower is on that.
145 horse.
Okay. Wow.
We have three of them just like it now, so.
Thank you.
I have one little question. Have we ever had a boom valve exerciser before?
No, that's actually a new piece of equipment.
This is actually a new piece of equipment. This is something that we should have probably had some time ago. It's actually really neat. I don't know. There is a picture. Scroll down. I believe there's a picture of it. So the problem we have is we have, you know, about 300 valves just on Washington County Rural Water. And every time we go out to a valve, we have to go out there with our little pliers and grippers and try to clean out what debris is in there. Okay. This will actually be able to go out and power wash, clean out, suck out the valve, and actually has an exerciser on it. So you hook up the hydraulic exerciser, and then on a 12-inch main, you got to turn it 3 times for every inch. So you're turning that thing 36 times one way, 36 times back the other. It's actually something we should have been doing a long time ago to keep these things operational and clean. I can actually speak from experience. Last winter, we had to go out and actually chisel debris out of one of the valve boxes so we could get our valve wrench on it to shut down the water main. So this is something I think is extremely useful. We'll get our, I think, money's back tenfold out of it. We'll actually be able to clean out meter pits as well. So it's just a great maintenance tool that I think will save us a lot of headache in the long run. It's just as operations grow and we are, I'll say, a little more financially viable, we can buy some of these things that I think will help our systems out long term. So.
Okay, I just never seen
it's a pretty neat piece of machinery, really, for what you get. It's got the back, the power washer, and the exerciser all on one trailer. So it's they're hard to find. The only manufacturer I could find was this one, as a matter of fact, and they're out of South Dakota. So if we ever do need parts, they're actually easy to get too. So
thanks, Justin. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? We have a motion.
We have a motion and a second.
Yeah. Oh, roll call.
No, we have to move the staff recommendation.
I thought we had that.
We did.
No, I didn't think we had.
Very quiet.
Yeah, it was very quiet.
I didn't hear it.
Rich seconded it.
Okay, I apologize.
It was very quiet, yes, it was very quiet.
Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Japp?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Thank you very much. Item number 7, fifth addendum to the agreement with Nebraska Land Trust, Austin Hill.
Hello, directors. I'm the education program supervisor at the Papillon RD. You might know me with owls or snakes, but today it's regarding the fifth addendum to the agreement between the Papillon RD and the Nebraska Land Trust for cooperative assistance. As you guys are aware, the Nebraska Land Trust is a 501c3 nonprofit, and it's currently the only entity in the state that holds full accreditation from the National Land Trust Alliance. Understanding the value of their early work, they first kind of brought this idea in 2001, and just their early work through agricultural conservation and then the partnerships that they fostered, the NRD decided, instead of kind of duplicating efforts, that it might be better to come into agreement with the Nebraska Land Trust. So in 2009, we partnered with the NLT and entered into this initial agreement. Since this original agreement, it's been extended 4 times, and during that time, the Nebraska Land Trust has really ramped up the amount of acres and individual land easements that they've been able to protect. Currently, we're sitting at over 50 individual easements, protecting nearly 50,000 acres under permanent conservation easement across the state. For reference, close to a third of those are in the Lower Platte Valley in the Douglas, Sarpy, and Saunders counties. The NLT is now requesting that this partnership continue with a fifth addendum. Attached to the memo, you will find the original agreement, a current NLT easement list, and a copy of the NLT, the Landscape Impact Report from 2023 for your review. Staff is proposing that the district continue to assist the NLT in developing land protection and easement acquisition strategies, fundraising plans, easement templates, organizing public meetings, providing easement education, and other conservation easement activities for the specific areas within the Lower Platte Valley and other counties within our district for another 3-year period. Staff recommends to the board that the general manager be authorized to execute the fifth addendum to the March 18, 2009 original agreement between the Papillon Missouri River Natural Resource District and the Nebraska Land Trust for Cooperative Assistance. This will allow for an additional 3-year district commitment of $30,000 per year starting in fiscal year 2025 and subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval to as formed by district legal counsel. Sorry, I talked for a living. You think I would do a better job than this, but... Does anybody have any questions for me today? No, it's an agreement we've had for a number of years now, and they've really ramped up the amount of acreages. In easement, you know, I look back at the 2018 meeting minutes, they were currently sitting at about 17,000 acres in conservation easements, so we're now sitting at 50,000, so we're really seeing the amount of easements we're able to protect increasing year by year.
Thank you very much. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I had one.
Okay.
How many other organizations partner with NLT? Any idea?
I mean, I think it's about roughly 15 different organizations. NRD-wise, it's the Lower Platte South and the Lower Platte North NRD. But we have cattlemen associations. We've got a good diverse group all the way to Nebraska, History Nebraska, and other kind of more archaeological and historical significance organizations.
Any other comments from directors?
You said about a third of those acres are in
the not a third plat. Of the acres, but a third of the easements.
Sorry,
a third of the easements are
okay, and the acres.
Yeah, the acres are just a little smaller. You know, we go talk about like the sand.
Well, it looks like we have real small areas, obviously.
Yeah. you know, we just, I think, closed one in the Sandhills, and it was like 8,000 acres.
I get that.
We had one, yeah, that are maybe 100, 200 acres. So it is, it's a smaller acreage for us here in the eastern
part. In the Papio district or in all the Lower Platte?
Lower Platte, I think, totals like 6,000 acres that have been protected. So that's a lot smaller, but that is, I think, 26 individual
conservation. Just want to get proportion. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? We can have a motion.
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bunnett?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item number 8, Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area Assessment. Amanda?
Good afternoon. This action is an annual action that we take to update the assessments, the special assessments for the Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area. So for your consideration is a resolution, and then there's a list of parcels as well. And these will be sent to Douglas County to assess those property owners for a total of $20,000, which is an annual total to add to that account. That account is used for any sort of repair and maintenance, things that go into protecting those properties along the Elkhorn River. And they had a lot of damage in 2010, and then again in 2019, there was well over $1 million worth of damage to that project that we reconstructed. So the current balance is about, $60,807, and we continue this special assessment each year until we reach $250,000. That's the max of that account so that we can do repairs. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but this is just the update to send to Douglas County so that they can assess those properties.
Thank you. Any questions? Directors? Yes.
And every year we do this, and maybe I didn't notice it, but do we pay ourselves, or do we bill ourselves? We're there for $180.
Carrie's saying how that works. We do. We do bill ourselves. It's well worth it. We
all right. We get a bill from the county, okay, we pay it. We don't exempt ourselves?
We don't, apparently, for the special assessments.
All right. I guess if I noticed it before, I didn't ask any question. I'm not a question. It's a comment. Okay.
I'll move adoption.
A motion?
Second.
A second. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak to the item? Roll call.
Bunnett?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yeah.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Item number 9, Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership and a Local Agreement. Lori Lasser.
Good afternoon. Everything's been going so smooth, and I'm going to slow it down with the PowerPoint. But hopefully it'll be quick. I've done it a few times already. So this is just a little bit of background on the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership. We're here to vote on the new interlocal agreement for continuation of that partnership. And this is a presentation that we gave in March that was open to elected officials and other community members throughout the watershed, just to kind of get people familiar with what we do. So as we mostly know here, the Papillion Creek watershed is about 400 square miles. That covers parts of Douglas, Washington, and Suffolk counties. There's 11 cities within that boundary, and about a third of Nebraska's population lives there. So the mission statement of the partnership is to address issues related to water quality and stormwater quantity in the Papillion Creek watershed by establishing regionally common goals and standards for the development of the watershed through 2040. We're fastly approaching 2040. It used to seem like that was a long time out, but not as much anymore. There are 9 members of the partnership, the cities of Bellevue, Gretna, Boys Town, Ralston, La Vista, Omaha and Papillion, Sarpy County, and the NRD. We're the administering agent for the partnership, meaning that we hold and disperse funds. and execute and manage contracts on behalf of the partnership, as well as do all of the official record keeping of meeting minutes and such. We also, as a member, construct the priority projects that are voted on every 5 years. And then additionally, we also have cost share programs that align with the goals of the partnership, and we provide technical assistance to our fellow communities. So the management drivers, we went back and kind of started looking at some of the history. Really what our goals are to accommodate growth in the watershed. You know, we've seen explosive growth over the last few years, and that comes with its own challenges when we are talking about water management. To help each community meet the regulatory requirements that are placed on them by other agencies, address flooding potential, and looking at the aesthetics and quality of life that these streams and lakes can provide to our constituents. So the partnership was formed in 2001. From 2001 to 2009, we worked to develop the initial watershed management plan, a very simplified overlook here. We had work groups that consisted of technical people, financial people, and policymakers to look and see what we could actually do and to make recommendations. There were several phases of technical analysis completed to determine what measures were feasible and what measures were not to adopt in a final plan. There were a lot of public outreach meetings early on, elected official forums, open houses, and small group presentations to groups such as homeowners associations. And then in 2009, we adopted the interlocal agreement, and everyone updated their municipal code to adopt those policies that were in the watershed management plan. So an overview of what those policies are now. We have water quality improvement, peak flow reduction, landscape preservation, restoration and conservation, erosion and sediment control and other best management practices, floodplain management, and stormwater financing. This is the initial watershed management plan that called for the construction of the priority projects. This is updated every 5 years as well, as we show. Nope, not that one. We show in the darker blue areas the projects that are still left to build, and we update it as we complete those. So this is what we've done to date and kind of where we are right now. We've completed four of the regional detention basins for peak flow management, along with two water quality basins. In progress right now, we have three more. And in the future, we still have several, we have six dam sites and the water quality basins above Cunningham Lake. Part of the regulatory framework that we work under is to help meet the requirements of, let me say this, multiple municipal stormwater management programs. MS4, I have to think about that. Anyway, and so that is a permit that is issued on a watershed basis. So all of the municipal jurisdictions within the Papio watershed, except for the city of Bennington and Washington County, are required to have this permit through the Department of Environment and Energy. And so that's a big factor of what we do. We collaborate on the management plan requirements that you can see here. The city of Omaha does a lot of those, and the NRD helps as well. The partnership is funded through dues that are calculated based on the population and the area within each community. And then that's weighted to account for the NRD contribution each year of $90,000. So these are the current contributions. Like I said, the NRD pays $90,000, and that's been static over the life of the partnership. Our annual obligations, we reimburse the city of Omaha $276,000. for the work that they do on behalf of the communities, things like construction, stormwater inspections. The NRD is reimbursed $34,400 for acting as the administering agent. We support the sediment and erosion control seminar that's done every year as well. That extra money, we do collect $369,000 each year. That extra money goes towards studies that we do as a partnership. We have done things like stream degradation analysis, floodplain analysis, and other studies like that. This is the proposed contributions for the next year. The NRDs will remain the same. So like I said, we update this every 5 years. We look at the projects that have been completed. We look at any changes to regulations. We prioritize the next structural projects. That's generally based on development pressure around there and the funds that would be available to construct those. We make any adjustments to policies as needed. So we've done updates in 2014 and 2019. And we are just now completing the update for 2024. This is our proposed implementation plan. Dam sites 12 and 7 are the next priority structures that we will start working on here. Dam site 19 is included in this as well because the Corps of Engineers has determined that it is eligible for federal funding, and that design will be beginning in 2025. We don't have an update on when they may do construction, but that will be funded by the Corps of Engineers. We'll be responsible for land acquisition and 40% of construction costs, but they will cover the final design. And we are not proposing any major policy updates at this time. We had gone into this thinking that we would start to look at some stream stability policy updates to help us address those issues. We weren't really able to come to consensus with all of the partners and the and other development minded folks. So at this time, we put that on hold so that we can get the continuation agreement adopted, and we'll start to look at that in the future. So the future, agreement will be adopted in June of 2024 by all nine communities. We're going to continue to work with developers and other stakeholders to start to address those stream degradation issues. And that can include supporting efforts to identify barriers to affordable housing. That's one of the main concerns that we heard back from the development community. But we also want to make sure that housing is at a lesser risk of flooding and erosion. And then work towards creation of green space corridors. We are part of the planning team for the Omaha Climate Action Plan at this point. We do work with other departments such as park plans and active transportation plans. And so our goal is to really try to bring those plans together to meet all of the goals. So I can answer any questions. The interlocal agreement was included in the packet, and that's what we are asking for this evening, is the adoption of that agreement.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of questions. This one might be, I don't know if it's quite related, but it might be. On the ballot, I don't know who voted yet, at least in Douglas County, there was something about the city of Omaha. Should they be allowed to do stormwater management? Or XYZ, do you know how this might tie in?
So my understanding is that is just cementing that stormwater management is a public works responsibility within the city charter. So they are already doing that through ordinance, but now this will be a requirement of the city charter that the public works department continue to do that.
Okay, that they continue. And then I had a question on DS7. Where's the location for that? Can you remind me?
The exact cross street, so it's up in northern.
It's by Bennington High School, just south of Bennington High School.
Yeah, right there.
Fort Ida, maybe a little north of that even.
Fort Ida and what street? 150th? Roughly. And just that if we get any opposition for that project from, if some of our other partners in the partnership, like Bellevue, Boys Town, Gretna, La Vista, Omaha, you know, they back us and say, well, we're all for it too, I guess, as well. So we don't get all the heat.
Yeah, Ian is the project manager there. I think we're pretty much like moving forward with that. We bought quite a bit of land already there, so I don't anticipate.
Not that one, I'm thinking 10, never mind, never mind.
You through, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
I had one.
Yes.
What is, you mentioned a reimbursement to Omaha, City of Omaha, $275,000 approximately. What is the agreement there that stipulates that we reimburse them for whatever that is?
So that is part of the interlocal agreement. They get that money. They do all of the construction site stormwater inspections throughout the watershed. So any construction site that you see in any of those communities, it's Omaha City staff that does that. So, you know, the City of Papillion, for instance, they don't have their own environmental quality staff. They rely on Omaha to do that for them. And that's a big part of it. Omaha also does quite a bit of other things. We have an online grading permit system that Omaha operates and maintains, and so there's a cost for that as well. And so there's a lot of.
So it's not the NRD that's necessarily reimbursing City of Omaha. It's a Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership that's reimbursing.
Yes.
Is that, okay.
Yeah. So that comes out of like a separate fund.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Or can you remind us? I can't remember. Why isn't Douglas County a participant in this project?
They declined to continue with the partnership in 2009. The county board at the time had some philosophical differences on how to manage stormwater and floodplain management. And so at this point they have not, they are like, they do send an attendant or a representative to attend meetings. So they're aware of what we do. They just, have not indicated they would be interested in signing on again.
They have very little of zoning jurisdiction left. I think it's less than 6% in the county, so.
Okay. Any other questions? We can have a motion on this.
I'll move for adoption.
Okay. We got a motion. Can we have the second?
Second.
Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Keiser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Barnett?
And Herman. All right. Item number 10, financial assistance to the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission for the Summit Lake SRA. Terry Schumacher.
All right. Good afternoon. As you know, the district and the Nebraska Game Parks Commission have a long-standing relationship that includes an agreement for the Game Parks to operate Summit Lake as a state recreation area. The current 25-year lease, we're in the 14th year, so we're just kind of reaffirming our commitment to the Game and Parks and the Summit Lake area. Our amendment A, which was signed back in 2009, said that we would review this every 4 years, and we're proposing to continue the $40,000 a year in assistance to the Game and Parks to operate and maintain this project. They do an excellent job. It's been $40,000 the last 4 years, so the fact that we've had a lot of inflation and they aren't asking for more dollars, I think, is a good thing, and we appreciate that from them, and look for continued partnership. So we propose to, you know, authorize the district to pay $40,000 to the Game and Parks for the next 4 fiscal years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We could have a motion on this.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Is that dam in good shape, Terry? Summit Lake, that's a dam, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in good shape. It's inspected.
It's not that old, right? It's.
Well, I mean, for the type of dam, it's not that old. No, but.
All right.
I mean, it's inspected annually. Martin Cleveland, he's on top of that. If there's something that doesn't look right.
That's all you had to say.
All right.
Any other questions?
The $40,000, what do they intend to do with that each year? Is that specifically, can you just give us a quick overview? Because it seems low to me, and I think it's kind of underdeveloped up there. I do, of course, appreciate all the electrified paths we have, but it still looks pretty.
I mean, it's basically for operation and maintenance. I don't think we say it's not earmarked for anything. I mean, I think the agreement's been that way since inception. It's just a contribution agreement. I mean, it may be for salaries, it may be for mowers, it may be for trash service, electrical, rural water.
They're doing a lot of improvements. They put in a playground, they have an equestrian facility, so they take care of the facility. So there's no way in the world we could run it for $40,000.
No. Yeah. I was wondering if it's enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they're getting park permits too, so that kind of balances that out.
And fishing permits. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Larry?
Well, just to add to that, I remember 2009, I think I was on the board when this agreement, a lot of it was for mowing. I remember that. A big lion's share of that money was so they can keep, you know, mowing. And I know they had faced, I don't think it went through, but some senator down in Lincoln wanted to really cut to the bone the Nebraska Game and Parks. So I guess, you know, our little $40,000 a year, although it's not little, but it really goes a long way and helps them.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Burnett?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Aye. Thank you very much. Completes my report.
Time is 4:37. We'll call the meeting of the FEAO subcommittee to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act are posted in the back. With that, quorum call.
Bradley?
Here.
Conley?
Here.
Here.
Yes, here. Adoption agenda.
Second.
Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Benningson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Proof of publication of the meeting, I have it before me. Moving on to item 6, budget reallocation of the M-Site 12 land acquisition. Lori.
Good afternoon. So we budgeted for $7 million in land acquisition at Dam Site 7 for this fiscal year. We had a bond issue in fiscal year 22 to help cover some of the land costs as costs keep rising. And due to the fact that we are not yet constructing that project, we have only purchased land as sellers have requested. Dam Site 12 is the same way. We had gotten most of the land for Dam Site 12 previous to fiscal year 24. We did have two tracts that came through for purchase this year that we had not expected. So we did not budget for that land purchase. At Dam Site 12, we had budgeted for land at Dam Site 7. We are not going to purchase as much at Dam Site 7 as we had anticipated. So we're asking to reallocate those funds to Dam Site 12 to cover the purchase of two tracts there. So again, no, we are not going over budget on any particular item. It was just a guess as to where we would be purchasing land when we made the budget last year. And I can answer any questions.
Motion.
Staff recommendation.
Anybody from the general public wish to make comment? Seeing none, roll call.
Henningsen?
No.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
And Chairman?
Yes. Item seven, Glacier Creek Professional Services, account 01074400283, over 110%. Ian?
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Just as a reminder, this is the wetland and stream mitigation site that we built up near 144th and State Street. We completed construction on this site last summer, and since then have moved into like a management monitoring phase to be awarded the credit, which we later sell or use on our projects. In 2024, I budgeted $30,000 for professional services. That encompasses ongoing contracts we have with Benesch, both for the design and construction management at the site, and then also for the monitoring of the site. To date, in FY24, the services that Benesch has provided as part of those contracts has included closeout of the construction site, completion of the as-built plans, and importantly, preparation and oversight of management activities at the site. That's really important in the first few years to make sure we have successful establishment of vegetation so that we're later awarded that credit. Benesch has also provided services in the form of monitoring visits to Glacier and then the preparation and submittal of a monitoring report to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, which again is a requirement for us to be awarded credit for this site. Those fees have reached to date $32,423 in this fiscal year, which is 8% of what I had budgeted at that $30,000. I anticipate additional services are going to be required by Benesch before the fiscal year is out as we're getting to the spring, summer management and monitoring season. And so the recommendation would be that we allow this account to exceed that $30,000 budget amount up to $45,000. Importantly, I want to mention that this is not changing the total contracted fee we have with Benesch. That total fee is right around $483,000, of which $125,000 remains. This is just shifting the amount that we anticipated to spend this fiscal year on these specific services. But if there's any questions on that contract or on the project, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions from the board?
So the max is 45,000, not
for this,
not additive, just so it was worded clearly?
Yes, yep.
Can we get a motion?
I'll move for staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. Is anybody from the general public wish to comment? Hearing none, roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Henningsen?
No.
Chairman?
Yes.
Thanks.
Item eight, Missouri River Levy Certification Professional Services account 01034400560, over 110%. Amanda?
Hello. As we get to the end of our budget year, you can see where we were off on our budgets a little bit as we all are making corrections tonight. So this is the Missouri River Levy Certification Professional Services. This is a contract that we have with Houston Engineering. It's been going on for years and years and years, and we are so close to being done. We are done, in fact, with the contract. But so at the end of fiscal year 23, when we were budgeting for this fiscal year, apparently there was $49,000 left on their contract. We had thought that they would spend a little more by the end of 23, and we only budgeted $40,000. We thought that would get us to the end of their contract. So the account has $49,000 charged to it, which makes it over 110%, but it is 100% complete now. That's the last bill. We have a few outstanding items, which are mainly just closing out the certification with FEMA and kind of wrapping up the last pay up with the contractor, but we don't anticipate any cost for that. We think that they will cover those costs. So this is the end of this contract, but it did go over 110%.
Any comments from the directors, questions?
I'll second.
Any comments?
The total cost of the levy certification.
It's a lot, and it is.
It's enormous.
Yes, I think it might be around $3 million, if not a little more. And it even is more complicated by the fact that this has been going on since, 2008, and it was under Tetra Tech, another company, for a while, and then FIRA, and then Houston, And so I could sure get that number for you, but there was a point where we kind of started over, and that number is about $3 million.
It's over $40 million total.
To build and engineer, yes.
That's a lot of money.
Any other questions? Can we get a motion, please?
You did.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Any comment from the general public? Question? Seeing none, roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Henningsen?
No.
McCormick?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. That concludes our agenda. I thank you very much. We stand adjourned.